Mark 10:46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Amen.
We've said already that every encounter with Jesus results in a changed life. But every encounter with Jesus results in a choice. Whether it was the rich young ruler who chose to walk away, whether it was the Pharisees and the religious lawyers who chose to focus on their own rules rather than the words of Jesus, whether it was the outcast, whether it was the downcast, whether it was the very last who chose to put all of their trust in Jesus and follow him, every encounter with Jesus results in a choice. Do we follow in faith or do we walk away in fear? Today we're going to look at the encounter between Jesus and Bartimaeus. And we're going to ask the question of how do we respond in faith? If we think back a few weeks ago to John chapter 4, when we looked at the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus was on a journey from Jerusalem to Galilee, and we talked about how there were two different routes that Jesus could take. One was the quick route, the three-day route via Samaria, but most of the devout Jews, they wouldn't have gone that way because they thought that Samaria was unclean, so they'd have gone the long way round, east of the Jordan instead. Today, Jesus is making the opposite journey. He's on his way from Galilee to Jerusalem. But this time, Jesus has gone the long way. He's gone the way of the devout Jews, east of the Jordan, and then cutting through a town called Jericho. And it's as he goes through Jericho that Jesus meets Bart has a choice to make. Every encounter with Jesus results in a choice. We're going to think of choices in three ways today. Three words for you if you're taking notes today. Reach, recognize, respond. First one is reach. Bartimaeus reaches out to Jesus. Bartimaeus is there in the busy crowd and he cries out to Jesus. He reaches out to Jesus. Have you ever been somewhere where you've got lost from the person that you're with? Maybe as a parent, you've lost your child in the shopping center, or you've gone to a concert or a train station or somewhere where there's loads of people and hustle and bustle, and you've become separated from the people that you were with. And you have that moment of panic, and you start to look for them, and that sick feeling in your stomach when all of a sudden you hear them call your name. There's something about someone calling your name in a crowd that your ears tune into it. Maybe you've played sport, and you've been on the pitch, and someone on the sidelines has been cheering you on. A friend of mine used to do a lot of marathon running and used to have their name written on their vest because people would cheer you on by your name as you ran past them. Jericho was a busy place. People were traveling through on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate. Many people were traveling that way. It was the way that the devout Jews would have gone. But also there was a busy marketplace there. People would have been sat there in the streets buying and selling. There'd have been people sat there waiting for work for the day. And this is where Bartimaeus is begging. And he reaches out to Jesus. And he shouts even louder when the people tell him not to. Let's think a little bit about Bartimaeus to understand why he does that. Firstly, Bartimaeus is blind and he's a beggar. He sat there in those busy streets as many people went past him. But many people in those days, their work would have been as hired labor. They were waiting in this public square for a rich landowner to come and to employ them to work in their vineyard or their field. Bartimaeus is sat there among them, but Bartimaeus never got picked. Bartimaeus' disability meant that he was not going to be able to be as efficient as some of the others. Others would sit there waiting for work. It was the place they found significance. It was the place where they found a purpose. It was a place where they found the means to be able to earn and have a meaning in life. They could go and be chosen for work. But Bartimaeus may have felt insignificant. He was never chosen. He was insignificant. And he was also overlooked. Maybe Bartimaeus felt overlooked, sat there, no one ever chose him. But maybe Bartimaeus also knew the scriptures. Maybe he knew that Leviticus 25:35 says, if any of your fellow Israelites become poor and are unable to support themselves among you, help them as you would a foreigner and a stranger so they can continue to live among you. The law commanded the Jews to look after the poor in their community as they would a foreigner and stranger. The law said that foreigners and strangers should be welcomed into the home. They should be looked after. They should be treated well. Wash their feet, feed them. They can even celebrate the festivals with you. Maybe Bartimaeus was sat there on the streets, knowing people were traveling to and from Jerusalem, going to the place of worship. And maybe he was just longing that some of them, after they'd been to worship, would put the word of God into practice. But he was overlooked. The fact that he was sat there begging shows that no one had taken him in. No one was caring for him, the poor in the community. Maybe he felt insignificant. Maybe he felt overlooked. Maybe he felt ashamed. Because in Jesus' day, people thought that if someone had a disability in some way, that it must have been because either they or their parents or their grandparents had sinned in their lives, and in some way that was the result of the sin. We know that's not the case now. But we read in John chapter 9, where Jesus encounters another man who's born blind. We read about this kind of thing happening. This is John chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. As he went along, he being Jesus, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. But the people thought that if someone had that kind of disability, it was because of sin in their life. So maybe Bartimaeus felt ashamed that he must have done something wrong, or someone in his family has done something wrong. People probably saw him that way too. It's his own fault. He's a sinner. Don't welcome him into your home. Forget about him. Insignificant, overlooked, ashamed. The people are telling him to be quiet, to not bother Jesus, yet with great fervency, he reaches out, he cries out to Jesus. Among the noise of the busy streets, Jesus hears him. We see a principle in the life of Jesus here as we're looking at encounters with Jesus. We see a principle here that Jesus stops for the lone voice. That Jesus stops for those who feel insignificant, overlooked, or ashamed. That no matter the situation we find ourselves in, when we reach out to Jesus, he responds to us. He meets with us. We see the principle in Jesus that he stops and meets with the lone voice. Whether it was the woman who'd been subject to bleeding, who physically reaches out and touches the hem of Jesus' garment and she's healed. Whether it's the blind like Bartimaeus who shout out and reach out to Jesus and he touches them and heals them. Whether it was the disabled man by the pool, Jesus stops and heals him. Jesus stops for those who feel insignificant, overlooked, or ashamed. What situation do you find yourself in today? Maybe it's none of those things. But whatever our situation, we can reach out to Jesus knowing that he hears us, knowing that Jesus meets us where we are through the joy and the celebration, but also in the pain and the sorrow. When we reach out to Jesus, he meets with us. He meets with us. So today, do you choose to reach out to Jesus in any and every situation in your life? Are you willing to reach out to him? Maybe you feel insignificant or overlooked or ashamed. Maybe you feel like God doesn't really hear your prayers. Maybe you feel like God's too busy dealing with some of the more holy people. If that's you today, I want to say this. Jesus hears you. He loves you. You're no longer called a slave, but a friend. He loves you. He gave his very life for you. And when we reach out to Jesus, he meets with us. Reach out to Jesus. Second thing we see from Bartimaeus in how we respond to an encounter with Jesus is Bartimaeus recognizes who Jesus is. Verse 47 says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus, as Aaron said before, has probably heard about Jesus. He's heard of the miracles. He's heard that Jesus can heal and restore sight. He's heard of the things that Jesus can do. He hears that Jesus of Nazareth, this man, is on his way. But Bartimaeus shouts, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He recognizes that Jesus is the Messiah. He's heard of who he is. He's heard of what he's done. And he calls out to Jesus, recognizing who Jesus is and what Jesus can do. In the midst of whatever you're going through in life right now, do you recognize the power of Jesus? Jesus, the one whom it's written about, has all things under his feet. Jesus, whom it's written about, is the head of the church. Jesus, whom it's written about, has the keys to life and death. Jesus, whom it's written about, is sat at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, for whom there is nothing too powerful for him, there is nothing too big for him, and there is nothing too small for him or nothing too insignificant for him. Do you recognize the power of Jesus in whatever situation you find yourself in? He can provide, he can care, he can heal, he can meet with you. Do you recognize the power of Jesus, that he really is who he says he is? Because when Jesus healed the sight of Bartimaeus, it wasn't just the physical sight that was restored. Jesus was showing us and telling us, and to those around, something really important, that we need to recognize who he is. At the start of his earthly ministry, Luke writes for us in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus goes into the synagogue in the place where he's been brought up, and he's handed the scroll. And he opens it, and it's Isaiah chapter 61, and Jesus reads from it. We read of it in Luke chapter 4 from verse 16. He went to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. As Jesus healed the sight of Bartimaeus, he was showing who he really is. Now we're reading Mark's gospel account, and the watershed moment in Mark's gospel has happened just before this, where Peter recognizes that Jesus is the Messiah, and Jesus confirms to his disciples that he is the Messiah. So now what Mark is trying to do is tell us as the readers, Jesus really is who he says he is. Do we recognize his power? Jesus healed the sight of Bartimaeus. Jesus fulfills the prophecy about him. Jesus is the Messiah. Prophecies like Isaiah 35, verse 5, then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Do we recognize that Jesus really is who he says he is? That he is almighty, that he is all-powerful, that at one word any situation can be changed? Do you believe that Jesus has the power to change the things that you're praying? Do you believe that even in the impossible situations, Jesus can change those things? And do you also believe that Jesus can open your eyes to greater realities? You know, Saul of Tarsus, he thought he had it all right. But when he was struck blind, when Ananias prayed for him, what happened? Things like scales fell from his eyes, and he saw Jesus for who he really is. Do you believe that Jesus can open your eyes to greater spiritual realities? As we respond to Jesus, as we reach out in faith to him, do we believe that Jesus can open our eyes to more of God's heart for poor, for justice, for equality, for inclusion, for loving our neighbors? Do we believe that Jesus can open our eyes to have bigger kingdom dreams, to capture a bigger picture of God's heart for our family, for our community, and for our own lives? Every encounter with Jesus results in a choice. When we reach out to him, will we recognize the power of Jesus? And then finally, will we respond in faith? Bartimaeus actually responds twice to Jesus. We read of it from verse 50. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Having reached out to Jesus, having recognized his power, Bartimaeus then comes to Jesus. That's the first way he responds. He gets up and he comes to Jesus. But then Jesus asks Bartimaeus a question in verse 51. "What do you want me to do for you?" Have you ever wondered why Jesus would ask that question? Because Jesus is God. He was fully human, but fully God. Therefore, Jesus knows all things. Bartimaeus is blind. It was fairly obvious he was begging. Why would Jesus ask an obvious question? "What do you want me to do for you?" This isn't the only time Jesus does this either. We read about it as well in John chapter 5, verse 6. We mentioned it before, the blind man who sat at the pool. The folklore of the day, people believed that an angel would stir the ripples in the water. When the people saw the water move, anyone with a disability could get in. The first one in would be healed. We're told the man has been sat there for years. And Jesus says to him, "Do you want me to make you well? I'm just enjoying sitting here for the suntan, actually." Why would Jesus ask an obvious question? Two things. I think firstly, yes, Jesus does know what we need before we ask. But God loves it when we ask. God is our Father in heaven, and he loves it when we as his children come to him and reach out to him, when we recognize his power. "Lord, I'm bringing this situation before you. I'm reaching out to you. Lord, you know all about it already. Lord, you know what needs to happen, but Lord, I recognize it's your power to change this situation." God loves it when we come to him in prayer. He loves it when we ask. But I also love that Bartimaeus was quite specific in his reply, wasn't he? "Lord, I want to see." It was a really specific answer. Maybe we need to get a bit more specific in the way we pray. Do we recognize the power of God as we pray? You know, maybe we're praying some big things, and we must definitely pray big things. We must always pray big things. Maybe one example is we pray for people to be saved. We pray for our friends or our family members, and we're praying, "Lord, would this person come to know you? Would they be in the kingdom? Would they give their lives to Jesus?" And God's like, "Yeah, that's my desire too. But what do you actually want me to do in their life?" Maybe we need to break it down and pray, "Lord, you know, today, would you open their eyes to something in the newspaper that would cause them to think of questions of life? Lord, today, would a new colleague sit next to them who knows you? Lord, today, when I phone them, may they pick up and may we get on to speaking of things of you." Trusting God with the big things, but asking specifically for God to move as well. Why does Jesus ask? Firstly, he knows already, but he loves it when we come to him. The second reason, I think, is this. I think Jesus wanted to teach us a principle. And honestly, I think we just haven't got it yet as individuals and as the church. I think Jesus wanted to teach us something that we just haven't grasped. Our series is Encounters with Jesus, looking at how when Jesus met with people, lives are changed, people are transformed. But also, we're looking at encounters with Jesus because, as we've said in the past couple of series, we are kingdom people. We are representatives of the king. And so after teaching so much about what the kingdom is like, now we're learning what the king does. We've learned what the king has been saying. Now we're learning what the king does. If we're to be the eyes and that mouthpiece and the feet and the hands of Jesus, we need to study what Jesus does. And that's partly why we're looking at encounters with Jesus. I think Jesus is demonstrating a principle to us here that we haven't grasped yet. Listen. 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 I think Jesus asks Bartimaeus a question to demonstrate the importance of listening. Jesus, who had stepped aside from his divinity in heaven to be fully God and fully human, doesn't use his divinity here to just assume what Bartimaeus needs. He chooses to treat Bartimaeus with dignity and love and respect. He asks Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" And then he listens. He listens to what Bartimaeus has to say. I think in the West, we're not very good at listening. We hear lots of things, but if we're honest, we don't really listen. You know, even in conversations, we're not really listening. We're waiting for the opportunity to speak again. Who are the people that we sometimes avoid to our shame? The ones that we say of, "We couldn't get a word in edgeways." They didn't listen. We couldn't get a word in. And I think in the church it's true as well. I think we need to be much better at listening to God. I think we need to be much better at listening to one another. I think we need to be much better at listening to our community. I mean, maybe mission and evangelism is one great example of this. You know, I'm more and more convinced that the world that we live in today, they're not interested in our tracts. They're not interested in our Sunday services. They're not interested in the things that we have to say. They're not interested in the courses that we run. I think what people are interested in is an authentic life that is lived out differently. I think people have a desire for what they see within us. I watched a fascinating documentary recently called Finding Faith, and it was someone who isn't a believer going and asking people who have faith what it is that makes them believe. And this guy wasn't interested in the church. He wasn't interested in the courses they run. He wasn't interested in any of the literature. The thing that really got him was this. How has that person forgiven someone? How has that person got a deep inner peace? There's something about them that I want to know more about. The presence of God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So before we start trying to put stuff on people in evangelism, maybe we need to listen to what people are really asking. I think Jesus is teaching us a principle here. It's time to listen. I've heard a few stories in these months of churches that have made a decision that they're not gathering again on Sundays for a while. They're not going to put their efforts into getting back in the building. They've realized we can worship online. We can do things in other ways. And so what they've done is they've said to the communities, "We're going to focus our effort on blessing you. What is it you need? Is it a food bank? Is it food parcels for children? Is it someone to look after women in domestic violence? What is it you need?" And as the church, we're going to make our efforts in that rather than in what we want to do. I was so humbled when I read that. A church that truly listens. I think Jesus is teaching us a principle here that it's time to listen. And then Bartimaeus, having been heard, responds to Jesus two ways. The first is he leaves his cloak behind in verse 50. We know from the Old Testament that if someone had taken a cloak in pledge, they were told to give it back by the end of the day, because for someone who's poor, it was their means of comfort and security, the means of keeping warm at night. Bartimaeus gets up and he leaves his cloak behind. For Bartimaeus, it was his comfort and security, the thing that would keep him warm at night. But it was also his means of earning. It was laid out in front of him on the floor for people to put food or money or whatever it may have been. And Bartimaeus is willing to leave it all behind to follow Jesus. It's a picture of what happens when we come to know Jesus. We leave the old life behind and we choose to follow Jesus. But I love the faith of Bartimaeus. He responds in great faith. How often in our lives do we know that Jesus is calling us to do something, but before we respond, we want lots of confirmation? Bartimaeus is willing to leave it all to follow Jesus. And then secondly, Bartimaeus responds again in verse 52, where he's healed immediately and he follows Jesus. I think there's a beautiful thing that happens here. Bartimaeus is a man with a disability, beggar on the street. He's unlikely to be welcomed into the temple to be able to worship God. He's likely not been able to go into the temple to worship, and yet he's healed, he was restored, and he follows Jesus. Where's Jesus going to? If we keep reading on in Mark, Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He's going to the place where the temple is, where the presence of God is. Bartimaeus gets up and follows Jesus. He doesn't even know where Jesus is going, but Jesus leads into Jerusalem, the place where the presence of God is. Because it's only through Jesus that we find our way to the Father. But in following Jesus to Jerusalem, Bartimaeus walks in the very presence of God. When we respond to Jesus, when we reach out to him, when we recognize his power, and when we respond and we put our trust in him, Jesus leads us directly to the Father. And as we remember and celebrate on this day, Pentecost, we remember that we're not left alone, because when Jesus ascended into heaven, in the days to follow, he poured his Spirit out upon all people. That includes you and I. That when we put our trust in Jesus, we are filled with his Spirit. That we walk with him and he walks with us. And we are led to the Father through Jesus. I think I say it every time I preach, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Bartimaeus responds in faith and is led by Jesus to the presence of the Father. Is Jesus calling you to respond today? Have you been reaching out to him about something? Do you recognize the power of Jesus to change and shift and to work in and through you in that given situation? And are you willing to respond in great faith today? Isaiah chapter 42, verse 16 says, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. Have you been holding off for something? Have you been waiting for more confirmation? Have you been reaching out to Jesus? Do you recognize the power of Jesus to move, but have you responded? Because today God is saying, I will lead you by the ways that you don't know. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide you. I will turn the dark situations into light because you are the light of the world. I will make the rough places smooth, and I will not forsake you. I am with you, God says. Will you respond to Jesus today? But also, if you're watching at home, I've got to say, are you reaching out for something? Maybe you're here and you've never really put your trust in Jesus, but you're reaching out for something. There's something within you that you're reaching out for, something greater, the meaning of life, whatever it may be. Reach out to God. Recognize Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, who gave his very life for you, who upon the cross took every bit of mess in our life, and he died and took the punishment that we deserve. And on the third day, he rose again and defeated and destroyed death. And if you recognize the truth of that in Jesus Christ, then I encourage you to respond in faith and pray a simple prayer that says, Jesus, I respond to you. You died and rose for me, and I want to follow you. Reach out to Jesus. Recognize the power of Jesus and respond in faith to Jesus. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, we thank you so much for your unending love for us, that you sent your very Son, Jesus. And we thank you, Jesus, for your great love for people, for the people that you encountered and they encountered you. We thank you for the lives changed, lives like Bartimaeus, who once was blind but can now see, who responded in faith to follow you. Lord, help us to reach out to you in any and every situation in our life. Thank you that we know that even in the moments we feel insignificant, overlooked, or ashamed, thank you that when we reach out to you, you meet with us. Thank you for your great power. And Lord, increase our faith that we would recognize your power to change any situation in our lives. And that when we reach out in prayer, you hear us. Lord, teach us to be bold in what we ask for, trusting and believing that you can and will move in any and every situation. And Lord, increase our faith to respond to you. Lord, give us the courage to listen to the needs of those around us, that we may respond to your call to go and make disciples. Lord, may we respond in faith to you. Amen.